Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Hello. It is the Beach and Company, and I'm Sandy Beach, and the governor's quarantine order. Yes, if you're listening to News Radio 930 right now, you must listen to us for two consecutive weeks. You cannot touch the dial. Do not touch the dial. Do not change stations. Now, that's a quarantine order I wish we could give. Don't you think, guys? Wouldn't you love to do that?
Yeah, let's issue it.
Yeah. You can't change to another station for 14 days while listening to WBEN. Now, let's see. Got a lot of things today. Unfortunately, a bird flew into our window moments before airtime. And so the bird is out there. What's the over and under that the bird won't be there by the end of the show?
Has the bird resumed room temperature?
Not yet. I don't think he's going to. He's in the bird's eye, fast freeze right now. And I like birds, but when they fly into the window, it's like, first of all, it's kind of weird. I'm guessing this bird will not be there by the time the show's over. What do you think?
It's gone. It'll be gone.
That's what usually happens. The bird, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush, but we don't even have a bush there.
So no, we don't.
It will be gone. Now, people say, Sandy, who is this Bernadette woman that you're about to betroth anytime soon? And I realize that I don't think I've ever posted any pictures of her. So we're going to, is it already posted, Bernie? Yeah. We're posting a picture of her and I on one of our cruises. I think it's the Rhine. Was it the Rhine? 3 years ago. So that's 3 years ago on the Rhine in Germany. That's because that's where the Rhine is. That's why we went on the Rhine in Germany. It might be in other countries too, but this was taken in Germany. And you'll see she's a lovely, lovely lass, as best I can describe it. Meanwhile, Tony's about to go through the horrors of hell. Yes, the day that your 13-year-old son becomes 13, when everything changes, when he goes from, "Hi, Dad, let's watch a movie together," to, "Hey, pass me a beer, Dad." And you know why, he must be 13. So good luck, because I saw it in my daughter when she became 13. It was like another child came into the house.
Yeah, noticing that it's you start picking up little changes here and there in behavior, and the next thing you know, it's like, wait a minute, is that the little boy that has been so close to me for so many years? I mean, he's still a great kid, and he's, you know, well behaved, but he has his moments like any young kid.
Yeah, and you know, they look at their mother and they see how moody a woman can be. And they say, why can't I be like that, too?
Sandy,
and
you're saying women can be moody? I got to jot women, this not, one down.
Not the women in my life. They're never moody.
No.
Maybe a couple of them are, but most of them aren't.
But it's such a weird thing. Like, you know, it seems like just yesterday he was a baby, and now all of a sudden, you know, he's going to be 13. And you look in the mirror like, wait a minute, that means I'm getting much older.
Boy, I saw something last night on television, they repeated it this morning, that really tore my heart out. The father and the grandmother of the little baby, a one-year-old baby, that got shot and killed during a cookout in Queens, okay? And the father and the grandmother on camera being interviewed, tear your heart out. especially when the father was saying, I'll never be able to go to a ball game with him. I'll never be able to take him with me for a ride, all of those things. And it just, it no longer was a number. And they, the Fox hosts pointed that out. They said before that it was a number, another casualty. Then it was personal. And it was heartbreaking, just heartbreaking. And that's the way it is. And yet, and look at the atmosphere. It wasn't a hostile atmosphere. It was a cookout. And somebody came in there and just opened fire, and that was that. So it shows you the real world beyond the numbers. Now, we got some things to talk about today, and we'll tell you what they are after the break. On News Radio 930, this is WBN. You know, we discuss a lot of important issues here on the show, and sometimes it can get heavy. One example is the conversation Tony and I just had. Unfortunately, the mic wasn't on, but I think I should tell you the heavy stuff we talk about during the commercials. I'm just telling him Superman could whip Batman with no problem at all.
Oh, easily. Easily.
Yeah, it wouldn't even be close. So why is there any discussion that that Batman could beat Superman? Short of Superman's being engulfed in kryptonite, which is his great disarming agent, kryptonite, then I don't see how Superman could ever be beaten. Supergirl could beat Batman.
If you think about it, Batman didn't have superpowers. He had gadgets, and he was very bright. And,
he had a nice car.
But, right, nice cars, but Superman was the ultimate superhero. Somebody posted a question on Facebook yesterday, who would win if you had DC Universe fighting Marvel Universe? And to me, it's a no-brainer because Superman can defeat anyone. Now, I did not see Batman versus Superman, so I'll defer to Joe on this one, but it is my understanding that Batman defeats Superman in that movie.
Yes.
And not, it's not going to happen.
No.
I mean,
it's not
realistic. The only thing about Superman that's a little iffy for me is he has a proclivity for changing clothes in a telephone booth. And there are very few telephone booths around anymore. So what's he to do? Just hide behind a tree or something? And where does he keep the Superman suit when he's not wearing it?
Yeah, because we never know that, do we?
He's wearing regular clothes. You know, he looks like maybe a sales manager or something like that. He's looking like a normal guy. And then all of a sudden he goes into the phone booth, that disgusting, filthy place called the phone booth. And he comes out, and suddenly he's a different guy. It's just like Lois Lane just showed up in a bikini, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But guys, remember, in Batman vs. Superman, Batman was the victor, but Batman did not kill Superman. It was actually a doomsday created by Lex Luthor. So
technically,
Batman didn't win. He was just the last standing.
Because again, I didn't see the movie.
Well, anybody who's a true fan knows that Superman has the superpowers. Batman can't fly. I mean, look at the advantages Superman has. Superman can fly, for crying out loud.
Exactly.
Who could beat that? Nobody. He's got a hot girlfriend, too, Lois Lane, who doesn't even know who he really is. Isn't that the ideal relationship? Buzzy. For you, Buzzy, there's a lovely girl. Say this is before you met your lovely girlfriend. You know, you're at a bar, it's 4 a.m., and she's giving you the eye. Hey, big boy. And she says, let's take a walk along the beach in slow motion. But you never told her who you were. Isn't that the ideal situation?
That's the ideal. You know what? I played this relationship wrong. That's the direction I should have gone in.
That's it. And you could show your superpowers, and she'd be very impressed with that. Just don't try and change in a phone booth.
No. You know, Superman, remember the one with former Buffalo Bill, Dean Cain?
Yeah.
On ABC and Terry Hatcher?
Right.
Ooh, which?
I didn't know Dean Cain is a former Buffalo
Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah, good conservative, too.
He's on in the morning sometimes on Fox, usually on the weekend. But go ahead.
But, you know, 90s Joe Beamer had a huge crush on Terry Hatcher, let me just say. But what I remember from one episode are these kids have him on camera, and they think
Terry Hatcher, they're real and they're fabulous.
Exactly, exactly.
Go ahead.
That's from two Seinfeld episodes. these kids have him on camera, and they think they've got Superman, right? And Dean Cain is Superman. So he pretends to cut his thumb. But remember, Superman can't bleed. So he dips his finger in ketchup to make it look like he's bleeding from a glass cut. That's the one scene I remember from the ABC special, but that was a regular at the Beamer household, and I think it was Saturday nights.
Well, I know some guys who have been on blind dates who purposely cut their thumbs so they could go home early. you got to have a good escape clause.
Gnaw your arm off.
Of yeah, exactly.
My move was always the emergency exit, right? I remember one date I went on. I met this girl online, and it was bad from the beginning. And I was like, yeah, this isn't going right. So I just pretend to go. I just said, hey, classic, I have to go to the bathroom. But there's no way out without her seeing us. It's a small place, of course, because I'm an idiot and picked a small place. So I just asked the person, like, hey, can I just go out your back door here? And yada, yada, that was the one time I walked out on a date.
Well, there are six words that'll get you off of any date, no matter what where you are, whether the food has just been served, whether you're in the car on the way to the restaurant, you're in the car on the way to her apartment, whatever. Six words will end the date instantly. Those six words are, did I get any on you? She'll say, stop the car right now, and she'll get out and run home, okay? We try and be helpful here on the show whenever we can. It's not a perfect relationship, but keep those six words in mind. Put them on a piece of paper.
Did I get any on you?
Did I get any on you will get you out of anything, all right? Now, here's what we're talking about today. There's a new quarantine rule in New York State. In case you are not familiar with it, it might have an impact on you. Maybe it won't, but I think to some it will. And this new quarantine ruling, will absolutely, positively kill tourism. So let's hope it's temporary. It would have to be. And let's hope it works the way they want it to work. But I'm thinking very hard to enforce, and it will kill tourism. Here's the deal now. If you're on an airplane flying to any place in New York, they're going to either hand out or tell you you can get it online if you would like, a questionnaire. The questionnaire is going to ask, when you get off this plane, where are you going? Okay, say you're going to the Ritz Hotel. Then you must stay at the Ritz Hotel for 2 weeks. You are under quarantine for 2 weeks when you get off the plane. Now, this is for 19 different states. It's not for everybody, but it's for a lot of the big ones like Texas and Florida and states like that. So you've got to swear that's where you're going to be, and they'll check up on you, too, to make sure you're still there for the 2 weeks. Now you're going to say, Sandy, how could they possibly know? How could they possibly enforce this? Well, here's the deal. If they find out that you're cheating and you didn't go where you're supposed to go, then you could be fined $2,000 and have a hearing where you might get more of a punishment, but the very minimum is going to be $2,000. After the end of 2 weeks, you can be on your merry way. But here's how the practicality works. Say, I don't know, say you're getting married, and people are coming into the state of New York to be at your wedding, as a guest of your wedding. They got a couple of choices. They can come in and go directly from the airport to the wedding site and then stay someplace immediately for 2 weeks, or they can come 2 weeks early and stay with you or stay at a hotel for 2 weeks and then go to the wedding unencumbered. So what's it gonna mean? First of all, if you were coming here just to be on vacation, that doesn't work. Most people get anywhere from 1, 2, 3, or 4 weeks of vacation, okay? So you're telling me you want to fly to New York. You fly to New York, you get off the plane, you got to self-quarantine instantly for 2 weeks. So there's 2 weeks vacation gone, plus you got to spend 2 weeks in a hotel if you're flying to New York. So that's what it is. It's the new quarantine policy, and I'd like to know if you think it'll work or not. I think enforcement of this is going to be very tough. If we got to do it, I hope it works. What do you guys think of that, the two-week quarantine?
Obviously, I don't like it, but what else are we going to do?
Yeah, you don't have any choice.
I wouldn't be making plans, let's put it this way, to have people coming in from out of town and having to
go
through all
of that. For a wedding, you mean? Like our wedding?
and it's sad because I know there are people that want to come in but are afraid to because of the quarantine guidelines.
You know what people are going to do? They're going to find the nearest state outside of New York that isn't on the list. Or they're just going to fly to an adjacent state, which would be Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, and just get in a rental car and drive in from there. Because there's no way they can follow up on that. And that people don't like certain things that they think are draconian in nature. And this might be one of them. So I think it has very little chance of being successful. I think a lot of people will cheat on it, as I said, by landing outside of New York and renting a car, or you might take just a hop, skip, and a jump to go to a state that doesn't have the quarantine, and then just fly in from that state. I mean, you could do that too. This isn't a primer on how to cheat on the quarantine. It's just a suggestion of what some people will do because they won't want to do it. So that's the first question. The second question is also from Seinfeld, but instead of no soup for you, this will be no federal money for you, and that's for the federal government not agreeing to hand over money to the state of Minnesota, the state which allowed 1,500 businesses to burn to the ground. They want the federal government to come in and help them, and the federal government says, no federal money for you. I want to know how you feel about that. On News Radio 930, this is WBEN.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we are back with Beach & Company. I'm Sandy Beach. It's not easy being a talk show host. It's not easy at all. Sometimes you get blamed for things. On the text board, it says, boy, are you really off being against this this new quarantine? What's the matter with you, you boob? And the bottom line is, I didn't say I was against it. I just said what I thought people would do. I thought that they would get to an adjacent state and rent a car to come in. Or I thought they could go to a state that is not on the 19 list and come in from that. And I said it would kill tourism. And I think those are all legitimate points. And not once did I say I didn't like it. I just said what people might do to avoid it. That's it. See how you get nailed, Tony? I'm an innocent man.
Just unless they were referring to me when I said, I'm not a fan of it.
Well, maybe. Yeah, it's Tony's fault.
Yeah, blame
that's
me.
It.
I'll take it.
Yeah, it's Tony's fault, Mr. Karate.
Yeah, that's the ticket.
Aha, Tony, your karate better than my kung fu?
Kung fu always better than karate. Started a little trouble there.
Exactly. No, so that I just said what I thought people would do, and I think people will do that. Whether it works or not is not up to me. I can tell you that, but I'm just telling you what I thought. Now, the second part, which I only spoke to briefly, in the state of Minnesota, Minneapolis is where it all started, with the death of George Floyd, gruesome, not watchable, just disgusting, and it started with him. And you can understand why it would start with George Floyd. But then, as it grew, what happened was the public officials did nothing to stop it from going into a full-fledged riot. The mayor of Minneapolis, which I never thought of as a hotbed of racial problems, but the mayor did nothing to stop it. And then the governor, when he was first asked about it, didn't even know it was going on. It's embarrassing when you're the governor and the news media has to tell you what's going on. So she allowed them to build the shanty town, and while it was under fire and siege, things caught fire. Four people were shot. Two of them died. So you had two fatalities, four people shot, and watch my lips. 1,500 buildings burned. 1,500. So now, as it's over and they've cleaned up the mess of the little shanty town there, now guess what? They went to the federal government. And by the way, the federal government offered them help in the form of the National Guard. Here, we can send in the Guard. And they said, no, we don't want it. And the Guard traditionally has to be given a, you know, would you come over here and help us, plea. They didn't do that. So here, not only did they do nothing, the governor did nothing, the mayor did nothing, and you ended up with 1,500 buildings and two people dead. 1,500 buildings burned down and two people dead. And then they had the gall to go to the federal government and ask for money to rebuild when they're responsible for the destruction of their own city, part of it. And the federal government said, nyet. Isn't that good? Nyet. No. And now I guess they're going to come up with another plan, I guess, because they said no. And I want to know how you feel about them saying no. The easy first answer that I gave was that you did nothing to stop it. Now you'll have to clean up your own mess. That's the easy one. The tougher one is all of those businesses. Many of them will not be able to reopen. Many of them are going to be bankrupt. And so you're going to see all those businesses out of the tax-paying line. And so I'm asking, do you think that's a good idea? I do. I think it's a good idea not to give them rebuilding money, simply because you've got to, at some time, be responsible for your own problems. And this is a tough one, because most of the time it wasn't the business owners that did it. But those are the same business owners and citizens that voted in these clowns, and so they're your personal representatives, so I guess you made a mistake. I guess you put the wrong people in there. Now, I know that sounds maybe a little harsh, but that's exactly it. And I find it in New York State, I find it totally amusing that here they are. Oh, one of the things New York is doing, are you ready? Are you sitting down, really, holding on to the arms of your chair? New York, the state that says, hey, illegals are welcome here. I'll send them in. Let's give them free college. Let's give them a lot of free stuff. Let's defend them in courts if we have to. We love illegals. Okay, that's New York, right? You know? Guess what they want you to do? If you see somebody that's cheating on the quarantine, that didn't go and get self, locked in the a room by themselves, then they want you to turn them in. To the state. They want you to turn into the state anybody that's trying to cheat on this quarantine, but yet they are not interested in you turning any information of illegals over to ICE. They'll fight ICE in court to make sure that ICE doesn't get any information it shouldn't have. They don't want you to turn in the illegals coming in here, but they want you to turn in the people who aren't quarantined. Do you find that slightly more than amusing?
How about aggravating?
Yeah. Yeah, how about it? We'll be back with more. Maybe that's it. Maybe if we can get all of the illegals to come in from Florida or Texas, you know, one of the big states that's a no-no now, and then we can get them that way. That might work.
Okay, or just tell your guests for your wedding that they're all illegal and they can't tell anyone.
They have to quarantine in jail for 2 weeks. I like that. We'll be back with more on News Radio 930 WBEN. My brain has turned to mush with all these things happening all, it seems like, at the same time. The four people that were shot and two people killed were in the CHOP residence, and that is in Washington, as in Seattle, okay? That's different than how it started in Minneapolis. That's in Minnesota. So I got all my maps there so that I know which is which. But does that happen to you two guys? Things just kind of blend in together after a while because there's been so many shootings, so many defund the cop rallies and stuff like that, or let's write Black Lives Matter in paint on the highway, that they kind of blend in together.
I just blame it on all the concussions I've had over the years.
All for
that's my that's like my excuse, my my fallback,
kung fu
yeah,
and stuff like that.
Yeah, okay. Football and
Buzzy. Do you have any kung fu injuries like Tony does?
I don't. But I'm thinking of taking some virtual classes during the COVID here because everything's online. But you know, I'm the same as you, Sandy. As sad as it is, because these things should all hold weight, but they just don't anymore because it's every day.
Else comes up.
And it's a passing story. I mean, think of the way it's covered now. These are all covered as passing stories.
Yeah, now the story about the little boy, 1 year old, that I saw the boy's father and grandmother last night, so compelling, shot at a cookout. He wasn't even in any kind of a combat area, a cookout, and got killed, and it was so compelling. In 3 or 4 days, that'll fade, and there'll be something else taking its place. That's the problem, is we never get a little time to breathe, to absorb the disaster that we have going on in our country right now. So I'll try and keep it straight from now on, but thank you very much. Let's go to line three. We'll start with Pete in Ontario, line three. Pete, you're on WBEN.
Hey, Sam, listen, you know that yesterday Tucker did expose that the district attorney that is actually now sent the police in to take the husband and wife that were defending their home after their wrought iron fence had been collapsed and the people were shouting at Black Lives Matter because they're urban. They were at their house is a nice one downtown. And they were not only harassed, said that the people were going to come in and kill them and kill their pets. While these were people eating dinner, the cops embarrassingly didn't want to go in, came in, took the M60, the semi-auto rifle the guy had.
Looked like an AR-15 type, yeah.
It was an AR style, yeah. It was obviously an M16, but AR style. And and pulled it from, and the woman, because they're both attorneys, their attorney said, don't go on Tucker last night. He went on Tucker. And because he's had enough, and he did explain that the cops did not want to do it, but she wanted to have them in the picture, walking away with the gun. They didn't expose their faces, and they were happy to do it. But then they turn around and find out the district attorney, 75% of the money that was given to her to get that position, an elected position, was from George Soros, backed by George.
Yeah, I heard that. I almost fell off the chair when I heard that. How much money can Soros have? Because it seems like every time there's a problem and we lift the rock, underneath it is George Soros and his money. I mean, who would think that the DA's campaign would be 75% financed by Soros in this place? It seems like wherever something's happening, Soros' money is involved.
But, Sandy, remember, a couple of billion dollars can go a whole long way. This man's got to be worth closer to $100 billion or some ridiculous amount. But you know what? I think what's happening now is we take a look at this, we stand back and say, hey, again, the point I'm pushing, where's William Barr? Nowhere to be seen. I'm telling
you. And where are the Republicans? I mean, they had on Fox this morning the senator from that state, who is a Republican, asking where is everybody, and this is outrageous, and he's going to try and put some pressure to get that whole thing dropped. I mean, it's ridiculous now, and it's illegal. It's obviously illegal, but in order to get it, they had to get a court order. So some judge, who I'm sure is not thinking clearly, had to okay that. Then the DA had to order it, and then they went and got the gun. They did nothing illegal with that gun.
Sandy, and that's the same thing the left has been able to do through it all. I mean, some of the stuff that Stone was coming out yesterday on Hannity's show and his lawyer are so outrageously wrong, but they get away with it. And who lets them away with it? William Barr.
Well, let's hope that changes. We'll see. And yeah, a delay on the other information that we wanted, hopefully before the election. I'm with you, Pete. I'm as disgusted as you are with it. Thank you. Thanks for the call, Pete in Ontario. Did you guys know that Soros 75% of the money for this DA's run to be reelected came from George Soros?
Not surprising. I'd heard that he dips his beak in a lot of these type of races around the country. That's how they get their way.
You know, with all of these things, with Soros's name attached in one way, shape, or another, I think a good thorough investigation would be in order just to find out if it's all legal. In other words, there are rules distributing money. I'd love to see for what causes he says it's for, because if it was for anything illegal, it would be a chance to, as far as I'm concerned, uncover a rock with a lot of his money under it.
We've heard that his money's involved with Black Lives Matter, and it has been since Ferguson.
Well, when you're handing out money that fast and that much, even if you're rich and you have good lawyers, If the rapidity of your handouts and the results of what the money is for, there's got to be something in there. There has to be, where they uncover something that he's done illegally. I can't believe it's all legal because there's so much of it and it happens so fast. 803-0930, 1-800-616-9236, *930. I'll tell you what, Mr. Beamer, why don't you give me a couple of Facebooks? I don't have time for another call right now.
Yeah, the federal government to state of Minnesota, no rebuild money for you. How does it feel? We'll start with Melissa. Agree. Why should my federal tax dollars bail out destruction that the state's government was complacent in? He can go find the money elsewhere. How about asking George Soros for the bailout? We know he's got tons of money.
He's got tons, and he uses it for his own advantage. It's mainly anti-America. How can a guy worth that kind of money be so anti-American? He's got to have some burr under his saddle that nobody knows so far. I'm using a little lexicon from my cowboy movie days. We'll be back with more on News Radio 930. This is WBEN.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.